This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Those things happen. You know, plays like that happen. We were part of the Fail Mary, which, took us out of a home game in the playoffs. You know, we enjoy the protection below the knee and above the shoulders, but I don't know many quarterbacks who want those calls. You know, there's very few opportunities in the game for us to show any type of toughness. We're not getting hit every play. You know, the one on me, I don't think that's roughing the passer either. What do you say to Clay? You know, his head is out of it. His hand is on the ground. That's not roughing the passer. Same thing with Kendricks. You know, what do you say to him on that? I didn't get up off the ground thinking, where's the penalty? You know, I saw a late flag and couldn't believe there was a penalty on the play.
Program, we are glad you're on board today. Thanks so much. As always, those are the words of Aaron Rodgers talking about the hits, and we've talked a lot about the hits, as a matter of fact, a lot about it. Hey, speaking of that, real quick, we're going to talk with Mike Clemens coming up here momentarily from NFL Sirius Radio, but today is the day you can get pre-registered for the 2018 9/11 Memorial Stair Climb at Lambeau Field. It's going to take place tomorrow, and it's a great way to honor and remember the firefighters who selflessly gave their lives so that others might live on 2001 9/11. Now, each participant pays tribute to an FDNY firefighter, and you would climb the equivalent of the 110 stories of the World Trade Center. If you want to get involved in this, you can. On-site registration begins tomorrow morning at 8 a.m. at the Quick Trip Gate at Lambeau Field. Or if you want to do it today and you want to get pre-registered from 4 to 7 at Lambeau Field at the Quick Trip Gate, you can get registered today. The cost is $40 per climber, and all the proceeds donated to the National Fallen Firefighters Foundation. And if you want more information and you want to register right now online, go to Pierce, P-I-E-R-C-E-M-F-G, piercemfg.com/climb. That's piercemfg.com/climb, and you can get registered for that thing right here, right now. And I've said it before, you're going up 4145, you see Pierce Manufacturing. They're the ones that do the fire trucks and the ambulances and everything, and right off to the, if you're going north, right off to the left-hand side of the road, that's who's putting this on. Great people over there. Again, Pierce, piercemfg.com/climb. Joining us here in studio, Mike Clemens from NFL Sirius Radio. How you been, buddy?
Pretty good. And sure, a lot of people have been talking about the roughness, roughing the passer call against Clay Matthews. Did it cost the Packers that game? Aaron Rodgers says it does. It's the players. It's not people in the media. It's the players saying, yeah, this feels like Fail Mary again. Mm-hmm. Okay. The referees have taken over the game. The referees are put in an impossible situation to make these calls. Google roughing the quarterback NFL rules sometime, folks. And up comes a page, an 8x11 page, just for that rule. It's ridiculous. Mm-hmm. It's so wordy. It's so complicated. The league is run by lawyers, and that's why the rule book begins to look like a law book.
Yeah.
And not a rule book for a game. A game. In the meantime, we're talking to Clay Matthews, who says, I get it. I get the concept that we don't want our star players knocked out of the game, but
obviously, this league is driven by, the home runs, so to speak, as far as the passing yards, big touchdowns, highlight reel plays. And when you don't have quarterback, you look at last year when you're missing some of those key guys, and I'm even going outside of the, quarterback realm, but obviously, Aaron and J.J. Watt and Odell Beckham's, obviously, you lose some luster in the game. So, like I said, I completely respect the rule and why it's being, put in place. But at the same time, it's I think we're going overboard here and putting the defense in a tough spot to the point where you can't make normal hits out there. So,
Clay, most of the good coaches, most of the good owners in this league say the game belongs to the players and the fans. Do the players need to have a little bit more say with a competition committee when these kinds of changes are made?
Yeah, you would think so, because at the end of the day, we're the ones playing out there. And I think sometimes, I know we talk about it as far as the tough calls referees have to make or have to put in place. But, you know, at the end of the day, you know, we're the ones out there playing. And I can't speak on behalf of all the guys who have played, you know, before I have or anyone else as far as who's up there in management, who's playing the NFL. But it's a tough game, and it's a game for you know, people who are cut from a different cloth, and you have to play it violent and physically. And, you know, I know those are words we're trying to get away from, but that's what this game is. So, you know, it'd be nice if we had a say, just because you see with all the new rules that are being, it's very hard to implement some of these new rules. We're trying to make it safer, no doubt about it. I appreciate that. I'm trying to get rid of, you know, big hits and you know, some of these injury-causing hits, but at the same time, I think we all understand it's football at the end of the day, and we sign up to play a grown man's game.
So we saw actually, I mean, he's right. You want to see the big hits, but now they're being taught, don't give us the big hits, just give us a very short tackle. But you saw, you know, Mike Daniels pull up. You saw Kentrell Bryce pull up. I mean,
oh yeah,
this is something where they're litigating now into the mind of the player, which is, I guess, what they want, but guys are now fearing the fines. They don't want to lose the money because instinct tells you to hit a guy. You know, I mean, I said this, Mike, before, and is this a good analogy? This is like going to NASCAR and watching a state patrolman be on the backstretch with a jugs gun saying, you can race, but I'm going to give you a ticket for going over 100 miles an hour.
Yeah, exactly. That's a good analogy. After the Vikings game, Mike McCarthy, as he promised, he said, I'm going to take this tape and I'll send it to the NFL. They get back to you right away. He said, I'm not going to call New York and yell and scream. We've done that before. It doesn't get anywhere. We'll do the due process and we'll move on. But I know that my coaches, the Winston Moss and those guys, they coached Clay Matthews and the rest of the linebackers on proper tackling technique, as we were told by the referees during the preseason, on how to tackle a quarterback and how to tackle another player. And we're going to stick with that. Although at yesterday's practice, there was a drill going on where suddenly the linebackers are going after those tackling donuts with their arms outstretched.
Tag your it?
If you get in the backfield, push them in the sternum. Push them in the chest. Don't wrap up on them. So that way you can't lift them. You know, and they're probably going back to the thing where they just say, look, just go after the football. Don't go after Kirk Cousins and wrap up and get the sack. Aim for the football. Try and disrupt the arm. Try and disrupt the pass. In the meantime, in the second half of that game last week, you saw Kevin King go down with a groin injury, and they bring in number 31, Devon House, and he lines up to the left-hand side of the Packers' defense, and they put Stephon Diggs, number 14, the Vikings, in the slot, and I think he did he went from the slot to underneath to a little down and out, a little bit of a screen there to try and beat. I think they were in zone then. Whatever the case, I don't know if Diggs was House's primary receiver, but he was supposed to pick him up. And then Diggs, who's got great speed, just puts on the afterburner, leaves Devon House about five steps behind him. Beautiful pass from Kirk Cousins to Stephon Diggs, who puts a move on Kentrell Bryce. Now the question is this. Hey, Bryce is known as a hard-hitting safety, number 29. You see him up in the box hitting running backs. Why didn't he just jack Diggs to try and loosen the ball from him to prevent the touchdown? And here's what the Packers' pass defense coordinator, Joe Witt, the defensive backs guy, here's what he said to that question.
I think if you watch NFL football today, and if you're in KB's position, if he goes and separates the receiver from the ball, what's probably going to happen? It's probably going to be a fine. He's already been fined one time, you know. So I think that's flashing through a lot of DBs' minds. You know, I'm watching film against Washington, and their tight end catches the ball up the seam against, I forget who it was, maybe Arizona. The guy hit him. He gets flagged for it. The only way he could have hit him is the way he hit him, you know, and he probably got fined for it as well. So it's difficult when a guy's lowering his body, going for the ball, he's trying to make a football play, for you to make a football play, and you know that you're going to lose a lot of money and get a penalty at the same time if you complete that play. So that's just the reality of the day's football.
It's tough to legislate in your head at 100% speed. You know what I mean? It's It really is. Now, Joe, you said Ryan Wood just put something out about this?
Yeah, he put out three tweets about an hour ago in regards to this. It says Packers safety Kentrell Bryce said he was fined $20,000.
Oh, my God.
In the preseason.
Oh, yeah.
For that unpenalized hit on Raiders quarterback Connor Cook.
Yep.
Now, the league told him after the game he roughed the passer. He said it would have been a $30,000 fine if he hit Adam Thielen to break up the game-tying touchdown. That was a little bit later. Furthermore, Bryce said there was no way to play the football with laying out Packers corner Jair Alexander. If he made the play, Bryce said he's convinced either he or Alexander wouldn't be playing this week because of an injury. Watch the replay. Seems like a fair conclusion. Bryce on predicament on game-tying touchdown last week, not wanting to lay out Jair Alexander, quote, "One of us wouldn't be playing this week if I made the play. Either I have a concussion or he has something wrong with his thigh or knee because I'm going to have to dive to make the play." So two different situations here with Kentrell Bryce, and he just he can't win. He can't do anything. Unbelievable.
That's I guess my thought is that's concerning.
It is. It's killing the sport.
Yeah. That's concerning.
So then, you know, after that roughing the passer call on Clay Matthews, the Vikings rattle off like 22 plays. It's like a fourth of their offense happened after that play. The Packers defense kind of laid down. And you asked Mike Pettine about, okay, after that play, why didn't you guys still pick it up and move on? I mean, the Vikings marched up and down the field and they ended up tying this thing. Here's what the Packers defensive coordinator had to say about the end of the game against the Vikings.
I think there's a lot of emotion attached to what happened last Sunday. And I know coaches talked about it a bunch. My biggest issue with the whole thing is how we responded to it, is that we gave up probably 12, 13 completions after it, well over 100 yards passing, a touchdown. We didn't handle the adversity well. It's going to happen in football. You're going to have something go against you that you have no control over, and we don't. And that's where that was the most disappointing thing to me was, you know, we went from thinking, hey, this game's over, to, hey, we got to keep playing, and we didn't handle that well. You know, that's the frustrating thing, and that's the thing that we addressed in our room, and it's something that moving forward that we need to handle adversity like that better.
Let's do this. We'll take a quick break. We'll come back and expound upon that. Stay tuned. Mike Clemens from NFL Sirius Radio, our Green and Gold Insider, sitting here in studio. We got a lot more. The Bill Michaels Show right after this.
You're listening to the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
If you've seen Rocky III, you know that Mr. T, Clubber Lang, has a prediction before the fight.
Pain.
That's kind of what it felt like.
Welcome back! Give us a shout. So Michael's show continues, and hopefully you're having a fantastic day today. Mike Clemens is joining us here in studio. I'm liking the Gonna Fly Now theme music from the Rocky shows. I don't think they had this playing in the background when Aaron Rodgers was speaking by any chance, did they?
I think that's his ringtone on his cell phone.
It would be mine. I could see it. It would be mine. Yeah, no problem. Mike, so let's pick up where we left off, really, when we were talking before. You talked about Aaron Rodgers comparing the knee to the Rocky III thing, but, you know, the biggest thing coming up this week is going to be the offensive line, the pass protection. Justin McCray has been great. You know, after talking with David Bakhtiari and Lane Taylor the last 2 weeks, they both said, look,
on the Monday night show?
Yeah, Brian Bulaga has been admirable. I mean, early on, he was a little bit slow, shaking off rust against Khalil Mack, and then got his bearings and has performed pretty well. So, this is coming from guys that are backing him up, though, but they said, look, you look on film, some of this stuff was, you know, a quarterback stepping up in the pocket, hanging onto the ball a little bit, rolling to that side. So, you know, offensive lineman never wants to be blamed, but some of this stuff, they're looking at Brian Bulaga saying, this guy's legit, he's back, and David Bakhtiari feels good. Excuse me, Lane Taylor, short of the holding penalty, played pretty well. It's been up the gut where the pass rush has come from against this offensive line.
So during Sunday's game in 85-degree heat with Jerry Kramer and the dedication, you know, at the halftime, and I got to go down the field and watch some of the game from the sidelines, you know, you stop and you say, you know what? I'm going with my gut. I mean, we've seen every snap that Aaron Rodgers has taken in games, in practice. And I think I know this guy. And I definitely thought in the first halfway through the second quarter, he was struggling. He was in pain. Something was going on. You almost wondered if he was going to make it through the whole game. And so I asked him about this the other day, and he said, yeah, no question. Just some things were happening. He's got the new brace on. He's got they put a wrap around it. But just as the game wore on, and even with the heat, the thing loosened up, and the stinging pain in the left knee went away there for a while in the second half. But then when I talked to Joe Philbin, the offensive coordinator, because there were moments there as the game wore on where I thought the pass protection was outstanding. I mean, Rodgers was back there for 4 or 5 seconds.
Right.
Standing in the pocket, not rolling out. He moves because he's looking for the open passing lane. He wants to have the best chance to deliver those short dart passes that he has without a chance of a deflection. That's how he keeps his interception rate down. But, against the Vikings, and it's going to be this weekend in Washington against the Redskins, he's going to have to stay more in the pocket. And I asked Joe Philbin, what did you think of your pass protection against Minnesota?
You know, there were snaps where it was really, really good, where we had a bunch of time. And there was a couple snaps that, it has to get better, you know. And so it was a little bit up and down. I mean, let's be honest, we're not going to be able to, we don't want to be a team that averages 4 sacks a game. And it's not all on the offensive line, but we all know, I think we have 8 sacks, if I'm not mistaken, after 2 games. That doesn't project to a number that is real satisfying to me, our offensive players, Coach McCarthy, anybody. So we have to do better, but there were some, at the same point in time, there were some, plays where we had a whole lot of time and then some. So just got to clean up a couple things.
Offensively speaking, I think while they haven't necessarily flowed well, and they certainly haven't put the ball in the end zone as much as they would like to, they've been able to move the football. I think the dam is about to burst as far as putting the ball in the end zone.
Well, and I think Philbin's saying when I got a report to Mike McCarthy, we don't say, hey, wow, we had some of those great pass protection schemes where we had 4 or 5 seconds for the quarterback. No, you're graded on how many times the quarterback got sacked.
Mm-hmm.
And if it's 4 per week for the last 2 weeks in a row, times 16 regular season games, that's not the goal that you're looking for. So that's the stuff that Philbin has to fix heading into the game against the Redskins. Jimmy Graham was kind of shut down against the Bears, had some catches in the game against the Vikings. But, we have not seen in the regular season the tremendous chemistry he had with Aaron Rodgers during training camp, during mini camp, and even during that one drive in the preseason when they were together. Now, the other thing is this. Before he came from Seattle, we knew that Jimmy Graham, the word from guys up there is, and he's not very good, real good with the media. And then you learn about his childhood. 11 years old, his mom literally dumps him off at a home for kids with a bag full of his clothes. Inexplicable. He cried himself to sleep every night for a year. Just couldn't understand why his mom, who was in the military, dumped him like that. She was overwhelmed and couldn't care for him.
Mm-hmm.
It's a long story. When you hear that a guy comes from that kind of background and turns himself into the man that he is, and a pilot, and a guy who flies transplants, organs,
right?
In the off season with his angel flight, all that, great guy. We just wish he'd share his story a little bit more because he's only talked to us twice all year. So finally, one of the reporters, Rob Domofsky, longtime Packer reporter, 20 years, Press Gazette, now with ESPN, he went to Jimmy and said, are you going to talk to us? Because, we'd like you to talk about the games. It's not like it's an ambush situation. This is part of the deal. Share your story so we can share it with the fans. We're not digging for anything necessarily.
Right.
And all that. And Jimmy said, nah, I won't. And he said, you could get fined. I mean, you're required to come into the locker room and talk to the media
once
a week. It's
your job. It's part of your job.
Charles Woodson didn't really talk during the week. But, man, after the game, it was gold.
Mm-hmm.
20 minutes of breaking down the game and where the team was at, and that you would say, that's all we needed. We just needed his opinion about once a week. The rules
right.
say it actually should be twice a week. So we asked Joe Philbin, the offensive coordinator, how's Jimmy Graham fitting in with the group?
Yeah, I mean, I think he had, 6 catches and 90-some-odd yards. I mean, that's a pretty good productive day for a tight end. I mean, and that projects pretty good out, if you project that out for a season. But obviously, He had the one touchdown call back, which is would love for him to score touchdowns. You know, they're going to add that to this week's to-do list. But, you know, again, I like what he's, you know, I like what he's brought to the offense. I've said this before to you guys in a lot of different areas, not just the receiving capability and the big body down the middle. I mean, it's a common thing, you know, football people like to talk about a big target. But, you know, the guy's a football player. He's a team player. He's acclimated well to the locker room, to the scheme offensively. And, you know, hopefully we can continue to, you know, get solid performances out of him week in and week out.
And so what do you know? About 20 minutes ago, Jimmy Graham came out and talked to a couple of guys.
Yeah, he, well, you know what? Rob Domofsky's a local guy, but he still carries the four-letter network behind him. So, and we saw that go public yesterday on Twitter.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's not like the NFL doesn't monitor this. And ESPN is a good backer and obviously, you know, involved with the NFL. They're probably saying, hey, look, you know, this is wrong. And he has to at least come out and talk once a week.
Yeah. And for some people that hate the media, well, you know, enjoy your angry life. I'm just here to tell you this. We're just trying to talk football with the guy.
Right.
That's all. Hey, how's the game going for you?
Yeah.
That makes the game interesting for the rest of us. If you don't find that interesting, then I recommend Madden.
Here's the argument to this. And for people that say, wow, it's the media and this and that. It's like, look, I understand that. If you don't like the media, that's fine. I've always said the people that complain and bitch and they're crusty curmudgeons the most, the minute something goes wrong in their life, the first thing they want to do is tell the media. So the media alerts everybody to their strife. Okay, that's the hypocrisy of all of this. The second thing is, it's your job. You know, if you walked into today and you were a garbage man and you said, I am never, ever going to collect any brown cans. I'll collect everything else, but I'm not collecting brown cans. And half of a block has brown cans on it and you leave them laying there. Chances are you're not going to have a job.
It's part of your job to collect garbage. As a player
so
or coach.
So you have to come in and say, okay, what are my obligations? My obligations are to stay healthy, to play hard, to be available to my team when I need them. And here are my social obligations. Here are my obligations
and
for the media.
Share the story of the team with the public that pays you tickets.
That's it. Because you've got people paying money to come and see you play, and this is your obligation to talk once a week to say, well, really after the game, but once a week basically to say, I'll give you 10, 15 minutes, fire away your questions, and I'll try to answer them to the best of my ability without being a complete jag. And nobody says you have to give long-winded answers, just have to be available. And that's it.
Speaking of communications, big unit, you're looking at Blake Martinez, your inside linebacker for your Green Bay Packers defense, number 50, and he's there, and he's banging on his helmet there at Lambeau Field in the first quarter. And so I asked him, were you having trouble with your radio helmet? Could you not get the signals from Mike Pettine up in the press box?
Yeah, it was weird. It was right at the beginning of the game. We were checking because we normally have a good check right before the game to make sure everything's good, and it wasn't coming through. And then all of a sudden, right as like everything was about to start, it was like had this little like ding, 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 like a turning on sound. And I was like, what the heck? And then as the game went on, it was like random moments where it was either staticky or it turned off again another moment. And I had to kind of go on the fly. And we've been through it, so I was fine. But, yeah, for me, being the signal caller and being that guy, I have to be able to have that poise and be able to talk to our guys when we're running to the next play, when they're going fast, when we're getting our personnel switches and all these things. I have to be able to kind of calm everyone down and keep them even keel so that the next play we're in the right spot and guys aren't getting over-emotional before the next snap.
There you have it. Let's do this. We'll take a quick break. We'll come back. We'll wrap things up. Mike Clemens live here in studio, our Green and Gold analyst and NFL Sirius Radio. More of the Bill Michaels Show next.
Border to border, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
You got to confuse A-Rod. Only way you beat great quarterbacks is you confuse them before the snap. You got to confuse them, put pressure on them. You got to look gimpy knee, so we got to at least try to get them to move around a little bit. But, you know, pressure, moving our looks around, man, and running to the ball, man, we'll be fine.
Welcome back. Bill Michaels Show is on the air. We are glad you're on board today. Thank you for hanging out with us. We certainly appreciate it. 855-830-8648. 855-830-8648 on the Loans Hotline. Mike Clemens sitting here in studio with us. Radio Joe alongside, getting back to Mike Clemens and everything that he is bringing to the table today. Michael, first of all, thanks for coming by. But getting back into this, you know, now you look at you know, the linebacking position.
That was Antonio, DJ Swearinger, by the way.
That was DJ Swearinger. But you look at and he's talking about, by the way, Aaron Rodgers.
Mm-hmm.
But we're looking at it the opposite now. This defense, we were talking about the linebacking core. We were talking about Kevin King and the loss of Kevin King in the secondary. The fact that they didn't really kind of get – you had Devon House go back there. He ended up getting beat late in the ball game. We talked about Kentrell Bryce and the fact that he pulled up on a hit. The secondary, the linebacking core, is becoming more and more vital. I have faith in them, but I think it's just going to take a little more time to figure it all out.
Yeah, and so you want to talk about stopping the run, and you go against 33-year-old Adrian Peterson, who in the first game of the season against the Cardinals are a horrible, horrible team. They've only scored 6 points in 2 weeks so far. But in the opener, he had 96 yards on 26 carries, caught a couple of passes as well. Then last week, the Colts and Andrew Luck come into Washington, and they shut down Alex Smith and those guys, held them to 9 points. They put a cover two defense on there. It turns out the Colts are pretty tough up front with that linebacker they've got, Darius Leonard, really tough. So they shut down Adrian Peterson. They ran a cover two, like, you know, Lovie Smith and Urlacher used to run against Brett Favre and Aaron Rodgers all the time. And Alex Smith went back down to being Mr. Checkdown. Instead of taking shots downfield.
Was it 13 passes or 9 passes? I can't remember. How many was it to the running back out of the backfield?
This is why he's been run out of town in Kansas City and before that in San Francisco as well. He gets to be too safe at times. Even when Harbaugh was taking that team to the playoffs, they accused Alex Smith of just being too safe with the football. And so that's what happened to him last week. Same old Alex Smith against the Colts. In the meantime, you're going to talk about stopping AP, you know, if he's still a threat. And if you talk to Antonio Morrison, who the Packers picked up from that Colts defense, that's deep at linebacker, and they're changing their scheme. Antonio Morrison says, yeah, AP is still a threat.
AP, he a hard runner, man. Hard runner, great jump cut, still shifty, hits the line full speed. So you got to bring it. You know he's a bigger guy. You got to bring it, run your legs against him because he'll run through arm tackles all day.
And Antonio Morrison.
If you can tackle him.
Yeah.
Are you allowed to tackle AP? I'm not really not sure at this point.
Well, 44, Morrison. You saw him against the Vikings, too. This guy he lays the lumber. He
likes to be a hitter.
He's a hitter. God bless him. There's not enough of them left in the National Football League. He's not afraid to be there on the inside and take those guards and tackles after him and keep him off the other linebackers or defensive backs, the safeties. And he's got his nose in there. And I've also noticed about his special teams assignments. And during practice, he and Ron Zook, the special teams coordinator for the Packers, they're always buddy-buddy. Zook is always like, you know, like, you owe me kind of stuff. So I asked Antonio Morrison, how is it that you and Ron Zook are so close?
Man, I love Coach Zook, man. He recruited me. And during that time, Illinois is one of the first biggest schools because I had, like, Northern Illinois and, like, a Division I AA offer. And then Illinois calls and shows up. I'm like, wow. I'm like, Illinois, you know what I mean? Growing up in Illinois, you know, that's a big school, and I'm like, wow, you know, these guys want me, you know, like I really got a chance in this. And, you know, when that happened, that really gave me, like, hope and, you know, faith that I could go as far with this as I wanted. And
well, he's a guy that obviously we recruited very, very hard. He's out of Bolingbrook and a good football player, play with a great motor. That's, you know, you like those guys that play hard all the time, and that's the way he's still playing. And you know, his high school coach was good friends with Urban Meyer at Florida, so they ended up going to Florida. But I think, you know, he had great visits, and it wasn't, you know, it was, you know, he had to think about it. His brother and had a great relationship with his brother and his dad, and, you know, it's just the way it worked out. But I followed him when he was at Florida, and then obviously when he showed up here, I was excited about it. And of course, Mo, Bruce Drayton, our guy that helps me is coached him the last 2 years, so. You know, it's been an easy move for him.
Ron Zook, I would swear to God, it's John Fox.
Yeah, same voice from all the yelling.
Yes,
but isn't it interesting? I never am failed to be amazed by these NFL coaches, assistant coaches, scouts. They see some kid in high school that they really fall in love with.
Mm-hmm.
Like, look at this kid hit.
Right,
that's a football player. Oh man, And even though Zook goes there and tries to recruit him, come to Illinois, and Morrison and Bolingbrook says, wow, That's big time. Mm-hmm. And he ends up going to Florida. But, hey, thanks, Ron. Thanks for the compliment. I appreciate yeah. that. He goes to Florida. He gets drafted by the Colts. And Zook is still thinking about him.
Right.
And then when Oren Burks goes down and they bring him in, you know, it's like, yes, I've been waiting for 7 years to get you on my team. And now I got you on my special teams. I just think that's really interesting when these coaches go after a guy. They mm-hmm. just never get them out of their own right. personal board like that. Oren Burks, by the way, your third round pick, he had that shoulder injury against the Raiders in pregame drills,
you know, right.
warming up with the shoulder pads. He's been, I think he's full participation now in practice. I think they'll have him out there in special teams on Sunday against the Redskins. I don't think, but they want to get him back on the field because he's so fast and
right.
he's the future at inside linebacker.
Yep, no doubt. What else? Anything before we get out of here? We got about a minute.
I think Green Bay's going to win this thing. I'm predicting.
You with us? You coming in studio on Sunday?
Oh yeah.
You gonna be here? Okay. Yeah. You know Gary's gone for the next few weeks.
That's right.
Gary got the knee replacement, so my partner for the Green and Gold postgame show, Gary Ellerson, not going to be here, but we'll be here.
I talked to him on the way to Green Bay yesterday.
Did you? Okay.
Yeah, so he's getting.
I texted him and told him if he needs anything, and I said, you know, he's like, yeah, I've had good pain meds. I said, really? That's it? You got a knee replacement? I got hit by lightning. What a wimp.
Hey, have a good stay in the hospital, Gary. Gotta go.
That's it. We're going to come back after the game on Sunday. We hope to have you right here for the Green and Gold postgame show immediately following Green Bay and Washington. Make sure you stop by and say hi. And we wish Gary Ellerson, our partner for the Green and Gold postgame show, all the luck in the world. Hope to get him back real, real soon. Time for us to get out of here. Have a good weekend.
Station strong. The Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.